Paul Coburn, keeping us fit and well. For Mill Park Physiotherapy, call 9436 9666 or visit millparkphysio.com.au.
I just want to wish you well. I just want to wish you well.
Getting a coffee this morning. I heard this song come on the radio over the speakers and I thought of you straight away, Paul Coburn. Good afternoon to you.
Can only mean one thing.
Fit and well.
We're getting you fit and well.
We're getting you fit and well. As soon as I heard the start of the song, I thought, Copes, straight away.
You know what? Today, we're not just talking fit and well.
What are we?
We're actually talking to the man who's lived it. We've got a living example. We've got a man that if you do the right thing for your life, you'll hopefully end up like this.
Well, we hope so. We only hope. It is a great privilege to have one of Australian sport's finest, Australian education's finest men as well. A lot of accolades. You go through the resume, it's ridiculous the way you can introduce this man. But I think the only way to do it is to refer to him as Melbourne High School's most famous son. David Parkin joins us. Hello, Parko.
Thank you, Daniel. That's very nice. Somebody said once, if you choose your parents well, get a good education. Stay reasonably healthy and live in Australia. You've got the quadrilla. I got the quadrilla.
You got the quadrilla?
Yeah.
Do I fit into that?
I know you chose your parents.
Well, the parents I chose very well. Education was okay. I'm 2 from 4. I'll work there. I'll work on the other two, Dave.
Yeah.
I'll work on the other two.
Geez, that's okay. I think the trouble is my parents reckon they didn't choose their children well. So I don't know about they're okay.
Now he is a picture of health and fitness.
Absolutely.
He's preached it for decades to all sorts of generations of Australians.
He has. And the interesting thing is that I was cross-examining him out in the green room before I came in. And I was actually – so David's been in the health and fitness education game since – I think I got this right – since the 70s. But, David, when – going back to that time, it was more of a philosophy. The science was still pretty thin on the ground.
Yeah, pretty
thin. So it's changed. It's amazing, like – some of the things that people get into when they're younger, they're into some sort of technique or some sort of skill or whatever. And as time goes on, the evidence suggests, that's not
that's
the right
rubbish,
place.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about exercise, it's just gone the other way, hasn't it?
I think, and we need the validation these days, people won't accept or even take it on this generation unless you can actually satisfy them that what they're going to do has a positive outcome for them. And
good point.
And we talk about supplements, but there's no doubt in my mind that activity, I was in Shepparton on, just make you laugh, Shepparton on Monday night for a men's health night, a couple of hundred turned up, which was really good. I said to them, hand up if you've done some physical activity. You've actually huffed and puffed today. And I reckon six or seven hands went up. I said, gee, that's pretty poor, 200 people, isn't it, when you think about it. I'm leaving here, this motel at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning to run, have a bit of a run, bit of a fartlek, run and walk and a bit of a yarn round the lake. I said, I'll see you outside at 7 o'clock. And how many do you reckon turned up?
40. Yeah.
40? What do you reckon, Paul?
6 or 7.
Zero.
Zero.
Not
but David Parker gave them the impetus.
A single person turned up, and I cried all the way around the lake twice.
Well, that would be intimidating.
Do you? What sort of background are they? Were they on the land sort of workers, or are they just?
I know. Well, that's a good question. They were right across the board. It was in the centre of Shepparton, obviously, but there were people off the land in the orchards, but mainly local people who saw fit through Care Connect, which is the local health centre there. To come along. It was a terrific night. They did a great job in the education side of things, and you would have hoped that people would have gone home and questioned the things that they might be doing, that they could actually have a better lifestyle that would allow them to do the things longer and better than maybe they're going to.
And one of those things, and the main reason we've got you on today, David, to talk about, I suppose, we're going to talk about generally about keeping yourself fit and well and your approach to it, because you've actually, as I said, you've actually lived it. You're not theorising it. But The other thing you can do is you can get to your doctor and get a regular checkup, particularly for prostate cancer. And you've got an interesting story about that in your own experience.
Well, I have a grandfather who we think died of prostate. And then I had a father who went through a very painful death over 6 or 7 years with prostate, elected not to do anything about it. And of course, it went into his bones and the hip and the spine, and he could never get comfortable. And I'm not very good with pain. As soon as I saw that, well, I'm on the bike. I'm going to the GP I started at 40 on the basis that we had a family history. And if you know you've got a family history, that's what you ought to do. If you haven't got a family history, you should be going at least 50, I would have thought. And I had both a digital rectal and the PSA test. Now, I've got mates of mine who I'm talking to going to the doctor whose GP won't even give them a PSA test, say it's a waste of time. Well, the news is that I'm alive today on the basis that I tracked my PSA through my 40s, through my 50s, into my 60s when I was going twice a year, every 6 months, and my PSA doubled. The only indication that I had that something was wrong, my PSA doubled in a six-month period. And even then I was stupid because I was told by Phil Perstein, my doctor, the footy club doctor at Carlton for a long time, he gave me the referral. I didn't go. It was 23rd of December. I'm not going to wreck my Christmas. So I thought I'd go next year sometime. And I was at a function. Well, you can laugh, Daniel. Now you know what we're like. Yeah. I went to a function, a social function, and Phil happened to be there. Gave me a nudge. He said, I haven't got your report back from your urologist. I said, I haven't been. Promise me you'll ring tomorrow, which I did. I rang him on the Monday. I saw him on the Tuesday. I had a biopsy because he found significant lumps. There's a thing. Small fingers of a small man. Didn't find the lumps, but the ruckman, who was the urologist, he found them straight away. Long fingers found the lump. So on the basis he found the lumps, and that I went and had a biopsy, which clearly indicated, with the result that I had an aggressive cancer. So then you've got to make up your mind how you're going to have that.
How long ago was that?
2008.
It's a long time ago, and now it's in the past. You don't even have to think about it.
Can I just ask, because an SMS come through on your point before, Parker, that some doctors tell you it's a waste of time. Is that a common thing, Coves? Yep. Is an SMS just come through saying, I've just turned 50, asked my doctor recently for a prostate check, said they have changed it, that I don't need a test, blood or digital was the way to go. Said I was too young, says Chris in Dandenong North, at 50. Is that unusual?
There's different opinions, isn't there? And that's that. Look, we had our coal face GP came in a while ago, I'll track him down. But he says there is some confusion. But you know, in the between, there's this different discussion about prostate cancer. It's not as clear a test as, say, a mammogram for breast cancer.
Right.
However, what David's saying about tracking it year on year and then seeing a urologist, I think that's the tip. If something starts to change, that's when you need to sort of get some advice. But again, people can only talk to their... Well, what's your opinion? You're the one that's had it. What do you think?
Well, because I knew I had a history. I mean, I went to a men's health night in Warrnambool. 220 people turned up, 60 of them women. So 60 blokes wouldn't have come unless they'd happened. So that's okay. I'm very happy for them. We did want to keep clear. In the last year, 200 people up, 100 male and 100 female for a men's health night. Now, you know, I stood the audience up, 180 blokes, said, if your father's still alive, sit down. Older audience, only about 20 sat down. 160 people said, hand up if you know what your father died of. Interesting. Some bloke up the back yelled out, what if you don't know who your father is? And another bloke half on the other side went, here. So I got at least two in the audience, and I said, even more reason for you two, if you can trace your genetic history, somehow try and do that. Mm. But when we finally, I said, sit down if you know what your father died. I have more than 100 blokes who had no idea what their father had died of. Now, there's a starting point. Find out about your genetic history so you know what you're chasing. I knew that. So I think I'm reasonably disciplined about those sort of things. I'm on my bike. Now, had I not, I would be unaware. Nothing had changed in terms of my bodily functions. Nothing clearly indicated I had something wrong. Yeah. So what other? There's no other. Tell me what the test is. People, doctors say, we don't want to know. Well, you don't want to know. Tell me how you do find out. And that really irritates me that a GP, having been asked by somebody, doesn't then find another GP.
Yeah.
In terms of family history, and this has come from the Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. They say that, first of all, that the two messages they wanted us to get across today was, first of all, that if you have a family history, you've got 2 to 3 times the rate or likelihood of having prostate cancer.
Exactly.
So that's what you've got to...
So knowing your genetics is very important. Knowing what's happened is very important.
Yeah, so that's one thing. So that's one thing that can help assist the GP as well. And they're saying that you should be getting discuss getting the test from the age of 50. But if you've got a family history, you should start the discussion when you're 40 on a regular basis.
Well, that makes a bit of sense, I think.
And it's...
We've got a living example of why you would do that.
Yeah.
Going beyond, though, even prostate, you know, going on for general health and knowledge, you know, whether it's diabetes or whether it's heart disease or whether it's some other form of cancer, the fact that you have a family history of some kind clearly indicates that you might be in a position to be more likely to be on the end of it. So I think that's a natural educational for health educators to get that message out there. And doctors, GPs, I know they're under terrible pressure with numbers coming through and spending time, etc. But they've got to help that process. They've got to help educate the people that come through the door.
Can I ask you about just the education part of it? You've mentioned a few times already you've been doing these men's health nights all over the state and probably the country as well. What, but some of the information you're getting out of those participants is really quite disturbing. What are they there? Why do they go to these nights? Is it to see the great David Parker or is it to learn about men's health and actually do something about it?
It's fascinating. For a start, we're starting to understand that the people who care less about themselves are the blokes.
Yep.
Women obviously care about their blokes and want to look after them. Men are not very good at doing those sort of things. They don't really care. They have that, I'll be okay, mate. You know, I'm strong enough. Yep. What happens to him is never going to happen to me. All that stuff. Men are absolutely classics. And until you actually confront them, how do you get them through the door? You've got to have some measure to it. They wouldn't turn up. And they wouldn't even bother to be. And so how do we actually educate a population which in the finish is going to kill, as you suggested? More men are going to die in the next 12 months from prostate cancer than women will die from breast cancer. Yet women somehow have got themselves organised and coordinated. There are, I think, 20 male nurses supporting people who have been down this pathway with prostate cancer across Australia. Women have 86. Why? Because they got behind the McGrath Foundation and that's now supporting women. So they're doing it far better. We have a game here in Victoria, or it's in Australia with Australian football, the pink test. Fantastic concept, and we get thousands of people. Can we get a blue game? Not in your life. And half the population at AFL House have died of prostate cancer. I find that unbelievably stupid as well. So we've got a problem in that men are more difficult to educate, if you like, or willing to become involved and understand the consequence of it and do something about it, and then getting the support. What is the right way to determine it? What are the best treatments available? Do you go into active surveillance or do you actually find some treatment? There are some really complex and difficult questions to answer, which the PCFA are trying to raise the money. So I've got a mailbag foundation now. We rode across Australia and round Tasmania and we're riding around Victoria this year in November, trying to raise the money to get the awareness out there, to get the research done in a coordinated way to find out, and then support blokes who really struggle. This is a really difficult disease with, you know, with the erectile function, the change of what men are about. It's a complex and difficult thing to handle. So we need to raise everything, awareness and the dough for the research and the support for men.
It's very well said. David Parkin, our special guest this afternoon on Fit and Well. Cobes is with us as well. 21 past one. We'll continue this discussion after the break. 23 past one. Cobes is with us, keeping you fit and well on a Thursday afternoon. David Parkin is our special guest. It's great to have him with us this afternoon. Just on your story before about telling the crew at, where were you, Ballarat?
Shepparton Monday night.
I'll meet you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the run and walk around the lake. Someone says, hi half, where is Parker having his run or walk tomorrow morning? I want to hang with you, Parker.
Long the Yarra. Happy to meet you.
Long the Yarra. It's a long stretch. Do your best. Do your best.
Hey, we do have to mention the Ted Whitten Foundation. They do a good job.
I've been ambassador for that. Yeah, look, let's be fair. They do a tremendous job in that space. Raised enormous awareness. And I thought the program the other night about Ted's life.
How good was that?
Oh, I'm glad you moved.
It was brilliant. Open mic.
Still trying to work out how I ran a lap of honour with him. I'm captain of Hawthorn. I ran a lap of honour with him, with his players, around the Western Oval on the day before we started the match against them. Now, is that meant I'm
is a that big, where their footage was from?
That was a big. Do you think that's a big hit? I'm still trying to work out why I would have put my hand up to do a lap of honour with Ted Whitten on the day he played his last game.
I didn't even know where that footage was from. That was the day before.
1970. That was his last game of coaching because they bowled over about four or five goals too. But I was the opposition captain. Somehow I ran a lap in front of his support before the game with his team, not mine. I don't know where my team were, what they were thinking.
Yeah, I can imagine
a lot of text mates say, gee, you got a big head.
No, it's far from big head. Far from a big head. What you are doing is trying to help a lot of people out there. And the men's health movement, you must have seen, Parker, through your time, through the programs you've done and the responses you're getting, that despite the fact that we are notoriously useless at this, there is some progression, surely.
Well, no, and there is. And through organisations like Men's Shed, where we're able, men are now collectively coming together. Women talk nose to nose, men talk side by side while they're doing things together. I think that's terrific. And they've been a very good conduit, if you like, for us to get those messages out and support men. I mean, across the board, whether it's in the mental health, you know, how you're going, mate, that sort of stuff, as well as the obviously physical problems that that men have. I think that, and I'm not trying to paint a negative and difficult position, but it's, we've just been slow, men versus women, and we've got a great model or formula or whatever you like to, that women have put forward to actually do it. And I hope we're getting better. The awareness has gone up 86% in the last 5 years. Okay. So that's a massive change in at least knowledge available that we haven't had. But so much good has got to be done, particularly in the space of, and I get a bit annoyed because there's bits of good research being done all over the world in different places, but I'm absolutely positive it's not being as well coordinated as it should be, and government support that we should have, you know, to have 20 men and women running around looking after blokes across the country when we've got as many to support as women with breast cancer, then we've got to get more government support too.
What about just on the topic of going to see your doctor, do you reckon ex-footballers are probably better at it because they've actually developed a relationship with their doctor?
Well, half would probably be, that'd be interesting.
I am much more comfortable and willing to go to the doctor than perhaps a lot of my mates that never were in the professional field, the elite sport field. Maybe that is because of the relationship. I've got a really good relationship with my doctor, Bernie Crimmins, who was the Hawthorn Club doctor for many years.
And doing a great job with men's health. Yeah. His two books are brilliant. They're the best books in terms of, if you want information, Bernie Crimmins, both his books are outstanding because they're basically on cartoons with funny messages.
I've got one in the studio. Look at that, Parker. Bloke's Health too.
Well, that one's an issue. Bloke's Health 2. Can you actually say that on air, what the name of the book is?
Yeah, Bloke's Health 2, it's called.
Yeah, down the bottom right-hand corner. It's the 3 Ds.
Depression, diabetes, and doodles. It's another word for doodles, but it's doodles. That's I didn't see the 3 Ds.
And they brilliantly done. A mate of ours did the cartoons and things for it. But, you know, Bernie's been in that space. And I must admit, I've stuck with my football club doctors along the way. And you have a relationship with them, which is pretty special. And I know that's harder because we spend time, non-medical time, obviously, social, etc., time-saving relationship, which is a bit different to a bloke coming off the street into a GP's office that he has no actual relationship, except he turns out to be his doctor. And it's pretty important relationship, is it, when you think about it?
It is.
Very important.
And look, just one of the things on the SMS came across, they get you in and out. But you've got to build up, you've got to learn how to work your GP. And we've done a couple of sessions on this previously. One of the pieces of advice we got from our cold-faced GP was to book in advance at the start of their session because you're, number one, they're less likely to be running late.
Yep.
The second thing they said to do was to tell them if you're coming in for a checkup, that you're going to, you know, you're going to get the checkup.
You want some time, not a quarter of an hour, but you want an hour.
You want to get the time so you can get it done properly. Because otherwise, if you come in and say, I've got this shopping list of problems, they scratch their head and think, there's no way I'm going to get through this today. So you've got to give them some warning. And then in that case, they're more than keen to help. And like most GPs, they want to help out, but if they get pressed for time, then they've got to make some, you know, quick decisions, which is no good.
The activity factor of your lifestyle, Parco, and for many, but unfortunately far too many don't do it, is we all learn about, you know, going to the doctor and getting checked up, and there's all this discussion and dialogue through the community about being more active, being healthier, but is that part getting through? Because that's really important. I think it's probably underestimated by a lot of people too.
And we need to go back a step, Harper. In your day, mine probably too, we had a half hour of physical education or activity run by a specialist in the school, in primary schools. Now, I'm a fellow of the Australian Council for Health, Physical Education and Recreation. I've worked extremely hard in that. And I'd have to say, at my age of 70 plus, we are significantly worse off, in my opinion, in terms of our ability to physically educate and health educate our kids. They don't get it. I was delighted to find a principal the other day who said, now we're into this and we've got a crowded curriculum. I'll tell you what, I want a quarter of an hour of your time before school, so we're starting a quarter of an hour, and I'll give you a quarter of an hour of our time, so we'll get the half hour in every day, and everybody involved, teachers and kids. And I thought, what a fantastic principal, that's PLA, you know, principal, to put into place by a very good principal who understands the necessity of doing it. It's more difficult, you know, with the stuff that kids aren't doing these days. They go out to classrooms at lunchtime, they're all sitting around playing with iPads and things. You know, they're not out there, and the teachers aren't there out with them, encouraging and facilitating physical activity.
Well, you know what? We had this discussion on Casual Friday last week that there are now limits to pretty much what you can do in the playground because of OH&S and lawsuits and all that sort of stuff. So it's...
Well, someone should be suing
back.
They should be suing people for the long-term effects on their health. You know, knock on the face, big deal. You get a sore nose for a while.
Yeah.
You don't exercise, you get cardiovascular disease and you die early.
The funny thing is, having had that discussion, listening to you talk and you jump and really agree with that, Cobes, aggressively, was that most of the population that we deal with and the feedback we get from parents out there and from people in the institutions of education system themselves want to have these kids being more active, but they're not allowed to.
It's pathetic.
So who's driving that? I mean, where's that agenda being driven from?
Somebody who's being sued and paying out money and insurance companies, et cetera, that think that they're going to be worse off. I find that just a pathetic argument for the reasons you've given for long term, because we know that activity helps you lose weight. It reduces stress. It lowers blood pressure. It reduces your chance of getting heart attack and diabetes and stroke. I mean, it improves immunity to disease. What else? It makes you look better and maybe even live longer.
Yep.
And for all of those reasons, it's probably the best supplement you can have, and we are doing everything in our power to reduce that with our young people in age when they're going to become non-habitual activities rather than habitual activity people.
And that's a big issue, I think, Cobes. It's something we should probably develop a bit more time to as well.
Look, PE is not the add-on topic at school to mix things up. It is the most important. It's the most. We went to the parent teacher and we sat down with the PE teacher and I said, "We think this is the most important subject our child's doing." And he laughed and he looked at me and thought, "You're feeding him, aren't you?" I said, "I bloody am feeding him." Like, the kids complain, how am I going to use this for the rest of my life? PE is the one thing you're going to learn principles you will use for the rest of your life to extend the rest of your life.
You create good habits.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you found a PE teacher.
Yeah, well.
I know they're fantastic.
No, well, I mean, look.
Yeah. It's a great curriculum, though.
I'm delighted to hear, and obviously I go to a lot of schools almost every other day. What is funny, when I find that the school principal actually has a phys ed or health education background, that part is in the curriculum.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. When they don't, and they have an interest and haven't been exposed to it and don't have the same habitual behaviours towards it, it's the last thing that's put into the program. It's the worst taught. Mm. You know, it's just a bit sad that we don't, as we're sitting here, because we know the obvious benefits and we've been recipients of the end product in a real sense. And then we've gone through and played elite sport at the elite level, but that's only a minor end product. It's the cream, it's the cream on the cake. It's not the cake itself. So I'm glad that we've had an opportunity. And there's a lot of people trying to do a lot of hard work to change attitudes.
Yeah.
And unless we change the attitudes, nothing's going to change.
I think it's pretty well said. Nice way to dismount and finish off our discussion this afternoon, boys. Great to see you, Parko. Always a pleasure, mate. Thanks for coming in.
Thank Daniel for having us, allowing us the time to push a few things that we think are important.
You just rock through the door anytime you like and sit down and talk. Then we'll make some time for David Parkin. What a great man he is. Cobes, great stuff from you.
And if you're interested in prostate cancer, go to their website. Pretty easy. Just Google Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia. You'll find heaps of information that'll help you out.
Do it. Just do it.